जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय
जय चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद Translation. All the brahmanas present on that occasion were initiated by Madhavendra Puri into the Vaishnava movement, and Madhavendra Puri engaged them in different types of service. Report. In the scriptures it is said, Shatkarmanipano vipro mamchatanta visarada avaishnava guru nasyat sapacha vaishnava guru. Even though a caste brahmana or a qualified brahmana is expert in the occupational duties of a brahmana, he is not necessarily a Vaishnava. His duties are mentioned in six brahminical engagements. Patan means that the brahmana must be conversant with the Vedic scriptures. He must also be able to teach others to study Vedic literatures. This is patan. He must also be expert in worshipping different deities and performing the Vedic rituals, yajana. Account of this yajana, the brahmana being head of society performs all the Vedic rituals for kshatriyas, vaishyas and sudras. This is called yajana, assisting others in performing ceremonies. The remaining two items are dhana and pratigraha. The brahmana accepts all kinds of contributions, pratigraha, from his followers, mainly the kshatriyas, vaishyas and sudras. But he does not keep all the money. He keeps only as much as required and gives the balance to others in charity, dana. In order for such a qualified brahmana to worship the deity, he must be a Vaishnava. Thus, the Vaishnava's position is superior to that of the brahmana. This example given by Madhavendra Puri confirms that even though a brahmana may be very expert, he cannot become a priest or servitor of the Vishnu Murti unless he is initiated in Vaishnava mantra. After installing the deity of Gopala, Madhavendra Puri initiated all the brahmanas into Vaishnavism. He then allotted the brahmanas different types of service to the deity from 4 in the morning until 10 at night, from Mangal Arati to Sayan Aratika. There must be at least 5 or 6 brahmanas to take care of the deity. 6 Aratikas are performed in the temple and food is frequently offered to the deity and the prasada is distributed. This is the method of worshipping the deity according to the rules and regulations set by predecessors. Our Sampradaya belongs to the disciplic succession of Madhavendra Puri, who belonged to the Madhva Sampradaya. We are in the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was initiated by Sri Ishwara Puri, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri's. Our Sampradaya is therefore called the Madhva Gauriya Sampradaya. As such, we must carefully follow in the footsteps of Sri Madhavendra Puri and observe how he installed the Gopal deity on top of Govardhan Hill, how he arranged and performed the Anakuta ceremony in only one day, and so forth. For installation of deities in America and in the wealthy countries of Europe to be carried out in terms of Sri Madhavendra Puri's activities. All the servitors of the deity must be strictly qualified as brahmanas and specifically must engage in the Vaishnava custom of offering as much prasada as possible and distributing it to the devotees who visit the temple to see the Lord. Om Tat Sat. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 4, Text 87. The matter of Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. So this is a very important, important verse and all of the wonderful instructions given here. Madhavendra Puri, while visiting Vrindavana, was able to find the Gopal deity. This was an interesting pastime because Madhavendra Puri was such a strict sannyasi. He totally depended upon the Lord that he wouldn't eat anything unless someone gave it to him without him asking. He would never make any effort to get his own food. It requires a lot of a faith to survive like that. So he went to Vrindavan, and then one village boy had come up to him and offered him some milk and said that I feed all the hungry people in the village, so please take the milk. So he drank the big pot of milk, and then that night when he was resting, that the boy came in a dream and said, come with me, took his hand, and then took him into the forest, and then showed inside the forest there was a deity of Krishna. So then Madhavendra Puri realized that the boy who had given him the milk was actually Krishna himself. And Krishna was leading him to the deity. So he brought all the villagers, they found the deity by cutting deep into the jungle. This deity was previously worshipped by the sons of Lord Krishna. And had been kept in Mathura Vrindavan, but during one of the Mughal attacks, somehow the deity had been hidden in this bushes in the jungle. The Mughals used to like to smash the deities. They would give reward for the smashing of deities and for such things. So it was often that the deities had to be hidden or taken to some safer location. All the original deities of the six Goswamis are, most of them except for Radharama, are in Rajasthan, where they were taken under the protection of Rajput kings when Vrindavan and Mathura came under the control of Aurangzeb. So Madhavendra Puri, when he found this deity, he arranged a big festival for bathing the deity and for beginning the worship. He arranged a big feast. So many people were fed prasadam. So how he had enthusiastically arranged this big festival, Abhishek, and the big prasad distribution. It says in the previous verse, seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri, all the people gathered there were struck with wonder. they saw that the Anakuta ceremony which had been performed before during the time of Krishna was now taking place again by the mercy of Sri Madhavendra Puri. So the Gopal Devi was kept on the Govardhan Hill. And for a long time the deity there was being worshipped. About 200 years ago, again there was some problem. 200 or 300 years ago there was some problem, and the Mughal ruler from Delhi was in the mood of destroying deities. So the other deities had shifted, but the Gopal deity stayed there. Because they had many letters from different emperors of Delhi telling to leave them alone. But this new emperor, he didn't care what the previous emperor said. When the general of the army came, the Lord saw the letters, said, "Look, I'll give you a week to move the deity, otherwise I have order I have to smash." So then immediately they took the deity away and called the Rajput kings, and they were taking the deity for to a place near Udaipur. It took about 13 months to reach, although it should only take about a week, but because along the way as they're going, the deity would stay for 2 months in one place. So the local people didn't want to let the deity go. They were worshipping and having big festivals and going a little bit further, a little bit further, until finally it reached its final destination. So that place, the deity became famous, not so much as the Gopal deity, but became famous as Nachi. Srinathji. And the place where the deity ended up was in Nathdwara, which is near to Udaipur in Rajasthan. From Jaipur, if you go to Udaipur, then in route you go via Nathdwara. So originally Madhavendra Puri, he had initiated the brahmanas of Vrindavan into Vaishnavism and entrusted them with the worship. At some point in time, Jiva Goswami, one of the Goswamis, entrusted the worship to somehow, I don't know exactly who entrusted how he got, but somehow the Balavacharya Sampradaya got the worship of the deity. And to the day that they've been worshipping, you know, that's their main deity they worship. So this year we went to the Nathdwara temple with a group of devotees. I hadn't been there before. They gave us a very nice treatment, a VIP rooms in their temple guest house. They have a Mangal Aarti at 4:30 to 5, something like that, maybe 5 o'clock. Then they have another darshan at 7:30. A darshan at 9:30 or so, then a darshan around 12, Rajbhog. Then a darshan in the afternoon at 4, then one at 7, it's the last darshan. So like 4, 5, 6 darshan. So all the devotees, we were there early for the for the Mangalarti. And they, neither body said not allowed to take photos, no cameras, no. But they said, don't even bring anything like that because it'll all get crushed. Nobody knew what to expect. But that the temple of the Nathdwara temple is about the size of this temple. But when the gates opened for darshan, more than 1,000 people fit in this room. In the middle they have some steel bars and things. So on the front there's a separate door for Manajis, and in the back it's for men. And you actually really get just squeezed. You are not in control at all. If you have anything like that mechanical, it'll probably become polarized. And they tell, don't keep any money because there's nothing you could do if someone picks your pocket. So everyone's trying to take the darshan of the deity. Nobody wants to leave their room. So everyone's just pushing, getting in. And then, but at a certain point, this nobody squeezes in. And so then, when one more person tries to push in and out the other end, poop, somebody pops out. And so gradually there's a kind of a flow. And I don't know why, but the person with me was in charge with caring for me. He thought this was too tight or something, but I didn't want to leave. I wanted to see the rest of the arti. But then he pulled me into the flow, and the next thing I knew, I was out. So I ran around again, came back in the other side. So like that, we were having a darshan of Srinathji several times that day. After the Mangal Arti, then everyone left, and there were so many people asking, you know, people carrying milk container. They're saying, you know, milk, seva. We didn't understand what they want, you know. Because they hear they're carrying. Then someone explained, you tell them how much milk you want, they'll run out, buy the milk, give it to you, then you can offer that to the deity. So the system that you can offer milk, fruit, vegetables, or flowers to the deity. And everything is there so that people who want to, they can offer these things. When you walk out of the door, there's hundreds of people selling flowers. And you can, there's somebody, they arrange it, someone's selling roses and different kinds of flowers, and we don't know all the ropes. And then someone was saying 30 rupees, so they're okay, we'll buy 30 rupees for the flowers and then give that to the deity. Later on we found out that it was for the newcomers. The people wait a little bit and the price comes down. The old hands there, they argue like anything and get a cheap price so they can get more flowers for the deity. These are regular salesmen there who are selling things. They're outside vendors, but they're specifically selling. This market is only people buying to give to the deity, not for any other purpose. So still the vendors are out to make money, isn't it? Then you go a little further and there's so many people selling fruit. Very nice fruit, all ripe fruit, but all the fruit that is sold is to be brought in to give to the deity. Then somebody, one buffalo almost ran me over, and they unloaded some firewood in the middle of the courtyard and outside the temple by the stairways of the front gate. And then somebody just started yelling, Seva, Seva, come and do service. And then people started running and picking up the firewood, bringing it into the kitchen. So there, everybody is very eager to do service to the deity. A very nice mood. I was very impressed. I picked up some firewood and brought into the deity, to the kitchen. Yeah. Although I wanted to do seva, I also wanted to see what the kitchen looked like. I wanted both things, but we because I wanted to see how they set up, so get any ideas for our deity seva. And like that we they have also one area where people can donate grains and donate ghee, and they have a what they call ghee kwa. That means a ghee well. So even one person donated 23 tons of ghee put in the well. One whole real bogey, real wagon of ghee. So, and then after that, the prasadam, Soma's prasadam is available. After the Rajbhog, we didn't eat any outside food, we just bought the prasadam from the deity. And you can get all kinds of vegetables, some raita, rice, special chapatis, pakoras, curry sauce, and all kinds of sweets. So the brahmanas there, they don't get paid any money. They don't get any money from the temple. They're only given mahaprasadam. So they sell the mahaprasadam to get some income to maintain their family. So you can get from the brahmanas some of the really good prasadam, the priest there. And then they have some agents who are also selling the things. So one old priest was there, and he was very friendly, so we were asking, and he was telling about what the different things were. And then we had so many sweets. So he was saying, you know how when you buy medicine or anything, it always gives expiration date. So he was saying, the expiration date of this prasadam is 1 week. This prasadam is 2 weeks. This prasadam is 1 month. This one is 6 months. So he's giving me the expiration date. So some are so hard and made in such a way to keep for 6 months. So if you want to take to a distant place like Australia, you could. So that was a very nice mood. So that this was the kind of mood that actually Madhavendra Puri instilled in the serving. We can see here, he started off the worship of Gopal in an enthusiastic way. And that's been kept up by that disciplic succession. But in our ISKCON temples, this kind of enthusiastic mood to serve the deity spontaneously is something that should be facilitated. That another thing that people do there is many ladies are cutting vegetables. People, when they give class, no one is sitting like this so much. You know, mostly people, like all the ladies, are sitting cutting vegetables, making garlands. Everyone, like sometime in the morning, you know, some Maharaj's doing. They always, so many of them are doing different services voluntarily. They sign up. What service can they do? So that's their way of pleasing the Lord. They all want to do some seva. Of course, in ISKCON we have deity service and we also have preaching service, serving the Bhagavad Dharma. Both the types of seva are there. But this idea that is also serving the deity, because that's bringing more servitors to the deity. So I made a very lasting impression on me, the way that everyone was engaged. I had the opportunity to do service. And I want to try to have in Mayapur that windows where people can donate their fruits and flowers and things. And in the Guru Vayur temple, we also see that kind of mood. They have that scale. And sometimes people might pray to the Guru Vayur Appan, the deity of Krishna. Guru Vai Appan in Kerala, near Chichur. And there, so someone might say, well, if Lord, you give me this, I'll give my weight and sugar. Something like that. They may, some deal they might, or they might just offer that, I'll give this, when I get a child, I'll give the weight of the child in silver or something. Whatever it might be. So, You see, I don't know exactly how they decide to make the offering. Maybe they just decide, I'll offer my weight or something. So you'll see someone's wife sitting on one side of the speech scale, and then the other side putting on different items, putting it off. So they have that custom there. And they have a little grocery shop right next to the provision kind of next to the scale, so you can decide what you want to offer. They have a whole menu there. You want sugar, you want salt, you want green coconuts, ripe coconuts. So accordingly, you can offer your weight in anything. Can you see that out here in the courtyard? Some people, rather than, they just take the weight, and then that amount of things are shifted over. There's one go down, that's one storeroom, which is simply for the deities. And here's the things which have not yet been purchased. So they shift it over from there to the deity storeroom. And then that's used for the deity service. So we've seen that kind of custom in different parts of India. But in Nazi, it was not even your way. You could just give any, everybody could give something in kind. And that was accepted. They had people accepting those different offerings. So even if you wanted to offer a kumra, a pumpkin, or some lauki, or some bottle gourd, or some okra, or whatever you might want to offer, you could buy different roots, fruits, vegetables, anything. You can go and bring and offer it. So some people, they're getting some home garden produce, not that you have to buy it, you can also bring your own. So they would bring. So I was thinking, how this is very good if our congregation can get an opportunity to do different types of services for the deity. Then actually they very much get more mercy from the deity, that will help them in their spiritual progress. So I think every temple, this is a good opportunity to consider how everybody can be involved in Krishna's service. As I go around, I'm always trying to learn things from everywhere I go, how to improve Krishna's service. The Prabhupada said here, the installation of deities in America and the wealthy countries of Europe, as we can include Australia and New Zealand, even as kind of in the south here, but kind of extension of Europe in the initial phase. So, should be carried out in terms of Sri Madhavendra Puri's activities. Prabhupada wanted everyone, all the temples, very opulent festivals, opulent installations. And all the servitors of the deity must be strictly qualified as brahmanas. Must offer prasadam. Prabhupada wanted anyone who visits the temple, they should be able to get prasadam. So we see all the very important temples in India, you can always get prasadam. If you go, there's always a stand where you can get deity prasad. Anytime from all the opening hours of the temple, some prasadam is available. In Ramuna, you can get the kheer and the burfis. You see, there's some specific prasad that's famous. In Srirangam, you get this gigantic murukus and different dosas and things. In Jagannath Puri, what don't you get? You get so many rice and all kinds of vegetables, sweet dal, then different kaja sweets, and malpuras, and there's a whole bazaar. Of course, they have about 7,000 to 9,000 pujaris who each have different roles to play, and there's a lot of prasadam cooked to feed 100,000, I don't know how many thousands of people every day. So there's a ragar on marketplace. You can go and get this prasadam. It's called the Ananda Bazaar. So in that dwara, you can get all this prasad of different expiration dates. And I asked, there was some raita there, which is, you know, made from yogurt. And I said, what's the expiration date of that? He said, 1 hour. You can have it now. Take it. It's my gift to you. So, there's another important feature. I mean, Prabhupada, he told us in Mayapur that somehow or another, you know, whether it's for sale or whether it's free, but you should provide prasadam to everyone that comes. Some form of prasadam should be available. And in Latin West, he wrote a letter once and said that everyone, every temple should make some puri dough in the morning and some sabji. And anybody comes during the day, sit them down and feed them hot puris and sabji. What's ever left in the evening, you make it out and can feed the temple devotees. But I don't know any temple that has done that for a very long period of time. Maybe in the beginning they were doing. But that idea, can you imagine that everybody came to the temple here, you sat them down and fed them a full plate of prasad. This would become a very popular, you know, it's already popular, but then become, people would be overwhelmed by that type of hospitality. That's the problem I wanted to establish. At least that prasad would be available and people could take. So, and now in India, you see all the major temples like in Bombay and Vrindavan and Mayapur. And some given days we sell in Mayapur over 10,000 laddus. And sometimes 25,000, we have 8 rupee plates of prasadam. And on the very big festival days, it's gone up to 25,000 people. But the average is 5,000 a day on the winter, on the weekends. And then we give free prasadam 2 days a week, a simple prasadam. Then we also have an upper end prasadam, 25 rupees at the guest house, and that's 2,000 to 3,000 people every Sunday and Saturday taking that. In the Delhi now, I see that they're selling cakes at Radhaparthasarathi temple site and different kinds of items. So whenever people come, they should be able to get some prasadam to take with them. And this is very important because sometimes someone in the family is sick or somebody is and they need to get prasadam. So prasadam should be readily available. When we travel around in India, even the small temples who don't have standing prasad counters, in the morning if you tell them that we want to book some prasadam, and you book before 9 in the morning, then they'll make prasadam for you. So Prabhupada had that desire that everyone become, all the temples have that facility. The other aspect here was that, what are the duties of the brahmanas? So one of the points here is that they should be qualified in yajna, in performing the Vedic rituals, and also in yajna, in assisting others in performing ceremonies. And we also went with some devotees to different places, and we found that in some of the places there's a brahmana guides, and everyone who visits the place, the guides to take them through various rituals. In one temple in Assam, that was the Krishna temple, and they had us sit down and they put flour in our hands. So we put the flour, and they said, okay, hold the flour, repeat after me, Namo Ramanaya Devaya Guru Ramana. Vidaya cha, Vigadhya taya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo,
Namaha.
They offer to Krishna's feet. So, this struck me, we know these mantras and we chant these such ideas all the time, but many times people come and they don't know what to do. So this last Chandan Yatra in Mayapur, so many people were coming this last month of Vaishakha. So I took groups of people to each of the altars and had them offer flowers to Narasimhadev, Panchatattva, to Radha Madhava, and bow down to Prabhupada. And the few devotees were taking them around, and everyone very enthusiastically appreciated. I think every temple should have the people, they're not only Yajan, but Yajan. So Brahmana should not only be worshipping the deity, but know how to engage other people in the worship. So everyone can come and be offering the Puspanjali to the different deities, can be bowing down, offering their prayers. Of course, sometimes, in India, you get some Brahmanas are very good like that. That particular Krishna Brahman, he never asked us for anything. We voluntarily give donation to his Krishna deity. In some places, they say, the repetition mantra, they say, all right, now how much you want to donate for feeding the Brahmanas? Put here on the plate. And then they, it's not enough, put more. So sometimes they create like a bad feeling because people, they feel pressured. But the aspect of engaging the people, we're not under, just engaging the people in the service, that is one of the functions of Brahmanas who are residing in a holy place. So it mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the temples are actually holy places, they're places of pilgrimage. Many of our life members in India, they said they want to visit Australia, to visit all the places of pilgrimage here, the ISKCON temples. And we take tours all over the world from India there. And after they visit all the temples, many of them start chanting 16 rounds and becoming vegetarian and taking up devotional service. Of course, they also see some of the landmark places of the country, but the temples actually leave a lasting impression to them. So this is something that every temple can consider. How to make, what is the experience when someone visits our temple for the first time? What is the experience we want them to have? This is our temple. It's our duty to serve the Lord. One of the services is that people volunteer, the congregation volunteers to take care of all the visitors of the temple, especially on the weekends. Guide them through different worship. Many people come and they see Prabhupada, they don't know, they just come in, they'll look, they'll stand. Nowadays people don't know, even they may be from India, they don't know what prayers to say, they don't know what to do actually. So if you engage them, many, a few might, but most don't, and if you engage them, what to speak of the Australians, they don't have a clue what to do. So if you're interested, you can take and show this deity, and then you can say, would you like to make a prayer? You take this flower and then take them through. And you find actually most people are quite submissive. They're quite interested in going through the experience. And by offering the flowers, there's also many mahatmyas. By offering this type of respect to the Lord, all kinds of obstacles in one's life are removed and one can get the fulfillment of their desires. Prabhupada wanted us to encourage people to worship Krishna deity and pray to Krishna whatever their desires were, and get purified in this way by establishing a relationship with the deity. So we can see from this verse that this is one of the duties of the Brahmana, Yajana and Yajana. I think we, in ISKCON, we have really perfected the Yajana to a large degree. Our Yajana is very well respected, that we are having very nice worship of the deities and nice rituals. But the other phase of it is Yajana, assisting others and participating. And that's an area we can still develop more. Dana, we're trying to give a donation. Patigraha, accepting donation, that we also lot of effort is made on that side also. Patan, which is reading and knowing the scriptures in Patan and explaining and teaching others. So that of all the things, it seems the Ajahn is the one that yet we have to increase a lot of, and all the things we can increase a little bit, but the Ajahn is the one we haven't considered how to engage others in the rituals. And to provide that, not only that deity worship is one of the rituals, and other things are the personal samskaras. In our Nahata in Bahrain, one lady who occasionally visited the temple, she was very upset and she came and her husband had an aneurysm, stroke, and the brain had been flooded with blood. And the doctor said it was like near hopeless. So then she came to us. Of course, could have come earlier, but immediately, you know, they came to me and asked what to do, and she was very upset and naturally. So we said, since it's a very serious case, so immediately I had some Ganges water and I had some Guru Vayur and Narasimhadev oil from the Abhishek of Narasimhadev in Mayapur and from Abhishek of Guru Vayur. So I gave some of the oil to her. She was too hysterical, so I had some of the devotees go put the oil on the head of the gentleman and put Ganges water on his head, charnarita in his mouth, and a flower garland on his body. And because he was so serious, even he was an icy, hopeless case, they let the doors open. You can also, you can pray, you can do whatever it is. So the person didn't survive, but he lasted maybe a week, but didn't ultimately survive. But we cannot underestimate the blessing that is given by all this contact with Krishna's paraphernalia. What time is the deities open? I told the past time before about that Dharma Swadas that worshipped the Ganges, sprinkled the water on the corpse. New Govardhan. Here the devotees didn't hear it. Aniruddha Prabhu hadn't heard it either, but this one. See here, it's on this line. Someone has to tell him. There was a devotee called Dharmaswadas, and he was a great devotee of the Ganges. And he went to the Ganges every day, took his bath, worshipped the Ganges, took his bath, and he would carry some water to back to his home for the puja and things. And then there was also in that kingdom another person born a Brahmin family, Kalakuta Das, Kalakuta. And he was a very bad person. He was very sinful. Even though he was born in a Brahmin family, he was working as some kind of a politician, and he was doing all kinds of black market things and misusing his influence. He was very proud. He was an atheist. Although he was claiming some respect as a Brahmana, but actually he was an atheist and he didn't believe any of these things. So he didn't care for the cows. He didn't care for anything. So there was a big bull lying in the road, sunning in the sun. But the Kalakuta was going there and he was feeling very angry that why the bull is blocking the road, and he picked up a big stick and started beating on the bull to get out of here. But the bull got really angry and charged at Kalakuta and bored him right in the chest, and it was like instant death. Chest opened up and the horn went right into the heart and was
thrown, and he was lying on the road there, like open heart surgery, dead. So this happened, and after a few minutes, Dharmashtra came and saw like this fresh dead person. He immediately sprinkled some Ganges water from his bucket all over the dead body, and he went on. After some time down the road, he saw all kinds of Yamadutas. And they were, maybe because he was carrying the Ganges water, he was able to see them, or somehow he could see them. And some Yamaduta came nearby him and was bleeding, and he saw Yamadutas were carrying wounded Yamadutas there. Some had their arms amputated, some were just like all cut off and bleeding, and some were carrying on their shoulder the injured Yamadutas. And said, "What is going on? What happened to all of you?" And he said, "You don't know?" He says, "No, I don't know. It's because of you." "Well, it's really our fault, but you don't know. You see, you were coming from the Ganges, and you sprinkled that man with the Ganges water. You don't remember?" He said, "Yes." "But what does it have to do? Why you're all cut and bleeding?" He said, "Well, that was a very famous sinner. And we were just waiting for him when he was going to die. Soon as he was killed by the bull, we came out in a very big group, very eager to drag him back to Yamalok. We had a special program all set up for him." Yamalok is where people are assigned different hellish resort areas. And we can get the description of some of the top attractions they have there. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. Something you like to read about, but not visit. So, he explained that we came in a very big group to get this Kalakuta standing over the body, and they were taking the soul with them. They're about to take the soul with them back to the spiritual world. And our leader came and said, "What are you doing? How can this a sinful man? How can you take him? He has committed so many sins." He had a guest in his house one day, and he murdered the guest and stole all the money and buried the body in some hidden place. They give a whole list of all, because they had it all recorded, everything he did. They have a database on everybody. So nothing escapes from their notice. So. So he got some widow pregnant and forced her to have an abortion. They had the whole list of this person. He's right for us. You know, we really have something all set up for him. But the Vishuddhudra said, "Well, that's all right. We agree with what you're saying. He was a very sinful person. But he was sprinkled by the Ganges water, and because of that, he got purified from all of the sins. The Ganges water is the lotus foot charanamrita of Lord Vishnu, and simply by being touched by Ganges water, one can be purified from so many sinful reactions. So, and one can be elevated. So because he was at the time of death, he was sprinkled, so therefore he is going... taking him with us back to the spiritual world." But the Yamadutas was like, I don't know, they had somehow, they weren't very clear about what's going on. And they said, "This is ridiculous. I mean, just drink a little water and you get free from all those sins. I mean, this is ridiculous. And, you know, we want to tell you, how is that possible? and we want to take him. And so they were like moving forward in an aggressive way to forcibly take away the soul that was in the Vishnu Dutta's possession to take him to hell. This was very ill advised. And the Vishnu Dutta said, you are first of all supposed to be representatives of Dharma, who is a great devotee, but you are not representing him. Therefore, and you have offended the Ganges, which is a great devotee of the Lord, you are doubting her ability to purify sin. You are criticizing her for it, diminishing her value. So you're offending her. On top of that, you're coming to us in an aggressive mood as if you're going to take away this body from us, this Atma from us, the soul. So we have no other choice but to teach you a lesson. Chakra! They called out for the chakras, and immediately the chakras are coming, and they started chopping these Yamadutas, these discs of Vishnu were just coming, and they all had their own disc, and just coming, and left, right, up, down, all of this flying, just cutting, chopping, going there, there, there. There's no defense they could do with this flying disc going just like, you know, moving saws in some, you know, sawmill. Just chopping, you know. So they were running, you know. But the leaders were all mincemeat, and others had lost arms and legs and were not fully killed, but they were... this was a rout, and all the Yamadutas fled away. That has gone down in the history of Yamalok. Do not mess with Vishnu Dutas. If God claims the soul, that's... don't mess in that. So then the Dharmastha, he said, well, this all happened, you know, and it's all because you... And then he was like amazed. He just kind of sprinkled the water, and it was holy water, and he worshipped the Ganges, but now he could really understand how great is the Ganges and how wonderful and how merciful she is. So immediately went back, bowed down so many times to the Ganges, offered a full arti, offered a composed beautiful prayer. He was really overwhelmed by the whole drama of the situation, the glories of the Ganges. And the Ganges was so pleased with his worship that the deity form of the Ganges came out of the river. Beautiful, eternally youthful form of Mother Ganges in the color of the full moonlight, with the white garments, carrying conch shell and lotus, riding on a white crocodile, Gangetic crocodile. And blessed that whatever you will tell me what you want, I'll give you a blessing. And so he said, I want pure devotional service to Krishna. And I want that when I leave my body, I can be touching your holy water. So it says that, so like that, someone's dying, even a little Ganges water. We may or don't see it, what's going on. We may think, well, the person didn't survive. But you don't know behind the scene. If you could put on your Yama vision. Spectacles, then you can see what's going on. Dharmastha got that vision. We don't always get it, so we don't see what's going on. Sometimes only your relatives is sick, so everyone should have their kit, you know, Ganges water, charna, mita, prasana, everything. We know what to do, and chant the holy names in their ear, read Bhagavad Gita. Create an environment so when they leave their body, they're thinking about Krishna or they're in contact with Krishna. You do the greatest welfare work. In some cases, people have survived. And they tell people what they've seen. Like Ajamil, he told how this whole thing happened between himself and the Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas fighting over him. And he had changed his heart. And after that, he just did devotional service and very quickly he achieved perfection. So devotees are really the persons that can do the greatest welfare work. And it's not only just the temple devotees, but any devotee. Even the congregational devotees can also help people unlimitedly. And most people, they don't know what is life. They don't know that the soul is eternal. They don't know any of these things. And when they really face a big crisis, they don't know what to do. And that's where devotees, people, maybe your work colleague, maybe neighbors, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, maybe anyone. You know what the philosophy is, you know what life is, you know how you can help people, and you know how to preach to them from Bhakti. That's why we want many people to be qualified as the brahmanas in the future and be able to explain the scripture, be able to understand and explain, be able to worship the deity and engage others in worshipping the deity to perform these different activities, or at least to help the brahmanas who are in the temple doing so. As a Vaishnava, we can do everything for Krishna. So the Ganga gave that blessing to that Dharmaswara Das. What a wonderful blessing he got. So we're also praying for pure devotional service, and we'd also like to always be in touch with the Lord, His holy name, and the holy Ganges. It's mentioned in the Padma Purana that for those who can't bathe in the, who live far from the Ganges, even if they live hundreds of thousands of miles away, I think it says 100,000 of yojanas, if they loudly chant the name of the Ganges when they're bathing, they'll get the same. Even if they just chant the name, they get freed from contaminations. And if they say while they're bathing, then they can get a result like bathing in the Ganges. Someone can just say, Ganga!
Ganga!
Ganga! Melbourne. Any questions? Yes.
The find that such an incarnate devotee like Madhavendra Puri and the Lord appears in the form of village Baal, which means could not recognize the Lord. Is this to be taken as a pastime between the Lord and his
pure devotee? It's a pastime. It's a pastime of the Lord. The Lord, Jai Shri Shri Gaurani Thai Ki, Jai Shri Radha Balabha Ki, Jai Shri Balade Subhadra Ki. If Krishna wants to reveal himself to someone, he can. If he wants to disguise himself, he can. He is being the supreme. He's the supreme disguiser and the supreme revealer. So, intuitively, when Madhavendra Puri was kept thinking about that child, and in his heart, he must have recognized him, but in his consciousness, it wasn't evident until he came again in a dream. That's the Lord. He can cover himself by his yoga maya or mahamaya. Unless he removes that covering, we are not able to. But great devotee like that, Madhavendra was feeling the spontaneous attraction to that boy in the room, something unusual about the boy. So there was some immediate heart-to-heart attraction there. But he couldn't, he didn't realize it was Krishna. Why he was thinking about that boy until later. Could be the boy was a great devotee. Could be other reasons, but this boy couldn't understand until later. Is that alright? Any other doubt? Question?
Also, even Mother Yashoda doesn't see Krishna as God.
Yes, also the devotees, when they see Krishna, they love Krishna, but they don't necessarily know or think that he's God.
So Madhavendra Puri immediately loved that boy, although he didn't recognize that he was the Lord. So some attraction will be there between the devotee and Krishna. Just like Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Navadvip, nobody basically knew he was Krishna, except for one or two, very few people knew that. And that wasn't his role to play as God, also he's playing as a devotee, so much harder to recognize. But still, spontaneously, people were feeling attraction to him. But that's the pastime. Mary, any questions? There are many reasons why we were Tila, put ourselves under the protection of Krishna rather than just under our karmic influence, to put our offer our body as a temple to the Lord. Actually, there's whole chapters in the Padma Purana that talk about the glories of Gopi Chandan. And I was meant to read those chapters, but I didn't get around to it. There's also in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a whole section about Gopi Chandan. There's a lot of glories. So, next time I get a hand on a... Is it Padma Purana? I have in my library, in my upper, we have the Puranas. Occasionally we look up. But there's a lot of glories to Tilak. I mean, I just remember glancing and said, anyone who sees a tilak, then they're reminded of Vishnu. And so that's also a qualification of a devotee, that when someone sees a devotee, they're reminded of God. And there's so many glories. I mean, there were so many, that's why I didn't read it, because I didn't have the time at that moment. It was like pages and pages of glories about Gopi Chandan. And wearing the tilak, especially of the Gopi Chandan tilak. And it's also prescribed, it's all of the initiated devotees, and all devotees are taking shelter of Krishna. They should keep their body pure as a temple and use it in the service of the Lord. And how we do that is by dedicating the body to putting the tilak. Also, Yamadutas have a standing order, anybody wearing Vishnu tilak, hands off. So you don't want to be in disguise. Yamadutas that can't recognize you. Even if you have to work, you can put it on by water, because they can see subtly the mantras are there. So those are working outside and cannot put on the full tilak. Visibly, they can put in the other parts of the body that are not visible with Gopi Chandan, and the forehead they can put with water. So we're putting offering. These are called Dwadas Urdhva Pundra. There's a lot in all the different Puranas that's mentioned in Lord this time. The Vaishnavas were the Urdhva Pundra, and 12 parts of the body. So many of these things that we underestimate, and that's why the Puranas are giving us the histories and the significance of these practices. We know some of the significances, but there's so much that is actually explained about it in different Puranas. The glories of these different practices and how amazing things have happened by persons who have won. I personally know that the first time when I saw a devotee wearing tilak, it had a tremendous effect on me. I was just walking in the park in San Francisco, and there were a group of devotees in a circle chanting in kirtan, and I was attracted and I started walking towards them, and when someone looked to me and I saw their forehead and I saw that tilak mark, something happened to me and I felt like, you know, those pictures you see a cat sees a ghost and this hair stand on end. All the hairs in my body were standing out like an electrical shock up my spine, and I got really frightened and I just ran in the other direction. I ran for like 2 kilometers. And then I thought, what am I doing? What am I running from? Why is this happening to me? This was completely out of the intellect. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. Consciously, I'd never seen someone like that. As soon as I saw that, it was like something. Then I, my intellect was thinking, trying to understand what just happened to me. Why did this happen? I couldn't have any clue why this was happening to me. Then I went back to find out who those people were. They'd already gone. It took me some time to find, locate who they were. Who were those people? I was really trying to find out who. So just by seeing Tilak, it had such an effect.